Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you.
We all know the transition from high school to university isn't the easiest. Imagine having to navigate a new environment on a new island away from family. Well, that is the reality of our Family Island students who leave the tranquility of their small island communities to migrate to the bustling metropolis of Nassau to pursue higher education. Welcome to University Drive. I'm your host, Nikki Bo, and today, Mr. Nico Scavella will be joining me as co-host. Our guests today are Zoe Turner, a UB student from Cat Island, and Isaac Barr, a student from Andrus. And we are here to talk about their UB experiences as Family Island students. Welcome to University Drive, Nico, Zoe, and Isaac.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Well, I'm excited about today's show, and I can't wait to hear the stories of these two young students. And they're going to tell us about their experiences here at UB. So first, I'm going to ask you each to introduce yourselves and to tell us a little bit about, tell us where you're from and your journey so far here at University of the Bahamas.
Okay, so I'll start. My name is Zoe Turner. I'm 17. I'm currently a sophomore here at UB in the Media Journalism program. And I started in the fall of 2021 when we were still online. So my first year of university, I was home in Cat Island. And then I came to Nassau in May of 2022 to do a summer course, but that ended up online. So I didn't really experience what it was to have in-person learning at the university until fall of 2022. So far it's been an interesting experience. I'm sure we'll talk more about it, but I'll let Isaac introduce himself now.
Well, hello. My name is Isaac Barr. I am 17 years old. And I'm also a part of the media journalism program at the University of the Bahamas. I started my first semester in fall 2022. And, well, I'm currently now on my second semester and just trying to, you know, get a feel of university life. I'm still adjusting to being able to transfer from Andrus to Nassau. And it is a bit of a rush, but we'll get more into that later.
So thank you so much for that introduction, Isaac and Zoe. So take us back to the whole application process and filling out your application for UB and having to decide what your major would be. Did you know off the top what you wanted to major in, or was it a process of figuring that out as you went along?
So I knew that I wanted to do something related to communication and media. And well, my parents said that I'll have to go to UB first before going to other colleges. So as I looked through, you know, the majors that were offered, I saw that media journalism was the closest to what I wanted to do. So that's why I went with it. And, you know, so far I've been enjoying it. So.
I had initially wanted to be a part of the music program at the University of the Bahamas. But due to me being unable to have the teachers at my original high school, in order to be able to prepare myself for the music program, it was unable to happen. So I looked through all of the programs that were offered at the University of the Bahamas, and the one that I thought was closest to the one that I wanted to do was media journalism, because I enjoy writing. It's one of my passions. And yeah.
So Isaac, do you play an instrument or instruments?
Yes, I do. I play two instruments. I play the piano and I also play the drums.
Okay, so Nico, I'm going to reel you in here. We can't have you sitting there quiet. So for those of you that don't know, this is almost divine, I guess, because we have two media journalism students here, and we have Nico Scavella, who is a former reporter. I won't call all of the media houses he's worked for, but I would consider him a veteran reporter, and he's here co-hosting with us. Nico, when you look at them, because you would have done communications as well as a college student, and them being in the media journalism programs, what are some of the parallels that you can see? And what can they expect to get as, or the experiences they can have as a media journalism student?
Well, as a media journalism student, let me take a step back. I'll kind of split it up. As a media journalism student, you can expect to know just about a little bit about everything. And that right there is so underestimated because when you graduate and you go into the workforce and you start working for different media houses or whatnot, you're going to encounter and interview so many different people from different walks of life concerning different situations and issues and all that stuff. So you'll find either now or later that you will end up learning a little bit about everything. Now, as a student, it may not become so apparent right away, but you'll soon start to see as you get more familiar with the terms and you start to, you know, as you familiarize yourself and acclimate yourself to your major, you're going to start to think differently. You're going to start to think holistically. You're going to start to watch news, and then you're going to start to pick up on certain things. You're going to be like, huh, why did they say that? Why did this person say this? And then you're going to start to understand certain things, pick up on certain things directly, indirectly, consciously, subconsciously. It's like your mind just opens up. And so as a media journalism student, that's one thing to look forward to. When I was in college, social media wasn't as big as it is now. So that's another another dimension that will augment your experience as, you know, media journalism majors. I'm thinking back, we only had MySpace and High Five at the time.
They don't even know about that.
They don't know about that.
We had MSN chat.
Yeah, MSN Messenger,
yes,
and all that stuff.
I wouldn't even talk about it because, you know, having a computer or having a laptop, I don't even remember if I had a laptop in college.
Yeah, those things were like precious commodities.
Yes, like they weren't an everyday tool at the time. Mm-hmm. So that could tell you. Well, Nico spoke about a few things, and I kind of want to go back. And you two both mentioned it when you were introducing yourselves. That transition from that small community in your family island to Nassau. Tell us a little bit about your respective hometowns. You're from
Cat Island,
Arthur's Town.
Orange Creek.
See, I always get it mixed up. I know it's Orange. I'm always toying between Orange Creek and Arthur's Town. You're from Orange Creek, Cat Island, and you're from North Andrus. Tell us about your hometowns and what is the biggest difference of transitioning to Nassau?
Oh, so the biggest transition definitely was the fact that in Andrus, everyone knows we do not have as much cars and as much traffic. And I currently live near the University of the Bahamas dorms, and I usually have to walk to UB every day when I have to go to my classes. So I'm definitely overwhelmed when I see all of the traffic and all of the cars just moving and just going and just going. But where I live in North Andrus, because I specifically live in Queens Highway in North Andrus, that would be considered as the area in Andrus with the most traffic and with the most hustle and bustle. But compared to Nassau, it's like, wow, it's definitely not like bigger than anything I ever imagined. So that's definitely one of the biggest transitions.
Prior to coming to Nassau for UB, did you come to Nassau frequently?
I have family over here, so I would visit now and again, but it has never been nothing more permanent than maybe 2 weeks, three weeks.
I see. Zoe, what about you?
It's kind of similar for me. I've never come to Nassau for more than like 2 weeks or so at a time, usually for like in the summer for a few weeks or like for a school trip or something that I was doing. But yeah, we have this joke in Kid Island. If you see like three cars on the road at one time, everyone is like, look, we got traffic. Because like three cars at one time and everybody going the same place and no one turning off. It's like, what's
something's
going on?
Happening. So what's happening in
it's
the
like
town?
Boat day or something.
Wow.
So, but yeah, like he said, it's like so little people, especially in Orange Creek. I think our population kind of dwindled over the years because, you know, people leave, people graduate, they come here to Nassau for school or work or whatever. So one thing I'm used to is knowing everybody I see. And like with high school and everything, even though it was like students from the entirety of the North Cat Island, it was still only like 50 of us in the school at the time, 50 high school students. So,
and that's from grade 7 to 12?
7 to 12, 50, 60 or so. So it's really small despite us being kind of spread out. So that's one of the things I've been adjusting to, not knowing everybody I see. And then even now, I'm getting to know more people so I could recognize people better. And another thing, I'd say something that's made the transition a little easier for me is that I live with family. And, you know, the family I live with is the family I usually stay with when I came to Nassau. So it hasn't been as, you know,
as drastic as it may be for some other people.
Yeah.
Zoe, I also want to ask, I know you started UB during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So you did not come to Nassau right away. You started UB when we at the university had a paradigm shift and we had to adjust and transition to online learning. Tell us about that experience.
Well, I'm sure anybody could relate. One of the things I love was being able to wake up and just go to class without having to do too much preparation and get ready for the day. And I liked that it allowed me to be home in Cat Island, so I would still have, like, be able to interact with my siblings and whatever. You know, they were online because everybody was online for a while. And another thing it allowed me to do, being online during that time, when I didn't have class, I was able to, like, you know, go out, help, and interact with community events and stuff. So even if I had class that day, I could go out, come back home, do stuff, and, like, you know, just be more involved than I am here, because, like, here I spend all day on campus, so I don't really get much outside of school. So being online kind of allowed me to do more outside of just school. So I kind of miss it, but, like, I'm enjoying being on campus finally. So,
Isaac, I see you're shaking your head. What do you want to share and piggyback off of that?
Well, I was just thinking about how she said that now we have to be on campus all day. Well, during the pandemic time, I was on my last year in high school. So I didn't really have that much of a change compared to Zoe, who started college. So it was kind of something that I was getting used to at the time. But now that I'm here at the University of the Bahamas, and it's like I'm here from 8 o'clock till maybe 8 p.m. in the night doing classes and participating and doing meetings and club events. And it's just so much now. So I just can relate to that.
Nico, anything you want to ask or chime in on?
Yes, I don't want to jump ahead.
No, go ahead. But you're co-hosting. You take the lead.
As you wish. I'm just curious. You know, why media journalism? That's my question. Why media journalism? I'll start with you, Zoe. Why media journalism?
So, like I said, let me be more of it. Like, let me get a little bit deeper. It's communication and something I love. I also love writing. And one of the things I wanted to learn to do was to be able to share what I love with people. So, and I realized the media journalism is a forum or a platform for that. So it doesn't matter what your career is. You could be a doctor. You could be a hairstylist. You could be a cosmetologist. Media journalism and media on the whole would help you to be able to share that with people. So it doesn't matter who you are, what walk of life you come from, what your culture is like. Media journalism allows you to share that. And that's something I love. I love sharing. I love storytelling. So that's why media journalism was calling to me. And yeah, I'm learning. And I think a little bit of that was in my college essay.
I see. What about you, Isaac? Why media journalism?
Okay, as I previously stated, I always wanted to be a music major at the University of the Bahamas. But since I was unable to do that, the next best thing for me was, as I also previously stated, was writing. And one of the things that I did, especially approaching my leave in high school, I did things such as youth empowerment. And with that, it led me to, like, grow an interest in politics. And after I got that interest, I started reading newspapers, looking to see the latest updates with the prime minister, just everything what was going on. And after reading those stories and, like, being, like, attentive with what was going on, like, worldwide, like, what was happening, especially in the Bahamas, it just was something that I wanted to be a part of. And I said to myself that, okay, I want to do this. I want to write for them. I want to write for The Guardian. I want to write for ZNS. I just wanted to be, like, just a part there and just be out there.
So when we, I guess both Nico and I come from the media world as well. And I think he said it best, that it opens your eyes and it just allows you to be very multifaceted. And I'm going to give you this tidbit, actually. most people that I know that start in media, they're able to transfer those skills into any career field. So media journalism gives you very transferable skills that's not unique. Like, when I think of certain careers, like when you think of somebody who goes to school to be a doctor, they practice medicine. When you think of somebody who goes to law school, they practice law. When you think of people who do communications, they're in every field imaginable because they have so many transferable skills that it doesn't limit them to what it is that they can do. So I want to leave that nugget to you, with you guys, that think of the world as your oyster. Think of all of the possibilities, because a career in media journalism allows you to explore so many possibilities, because even law firms need a communication specialist. Even hospitals need a communication specialist. You know, the tourism field, they need communication specialists. And so when I think about media journalism and journalism and communications, I think we are the most versatile set of people. So that's that. So I'm going to transition again. When you think, Zoe, you mentioned that there were like 50 people in your high school from grade 7 to 12. Isaac, what was your number like? How many people were in your high school? Did you go to an all-age school, or did you have like primary school and high school in North Andras?
I went to Master Point Primary School at first. The population there wasn't as low as Zoe's, but it was about maybe 100 to 120 students. And when I transitioned to high school, it went up to about 300 students, maybe, or maybe 300, between 300 to 400.
Y'all have all them people in Andras? I'm really teasing. So, of all of the people in from your high school, how many of them came to UB?
You mean like from my graduating class?
Yeah, or from your graduating class.
From my graduating class, is just me. There were only six of us.
And one out of six. And are the rest in Cat Island?
A few of them are. I think maybe... maybe one person is, actually.
I see.
Another student, she went to Ohio for college, and I think the rest of them got jobs.
What do you think, for both of you, what do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions Nassau High School students and Nassau people have about Family Island students and high school and growing up in the Family Island?
Well, this is actually really funny. When I first came to the University of the Bahamas, I live with I have eight housemates because I live in a off-campus dorm. And my roommate actually came to me one day, and he was like, "What do y'all do in Andras all day? I heard that y'all catch crab." Of course, that's the first statement. And eventually after that, we just started a conversation, just having it about Andras and about that island life. And then he went on to ask me again, "Do y'all catch crab in Andras for PE?" I was like, wow.
Where's this person from? They're from Nassau?
No, they're from Freeport.
I see. Interesting.
For me, the thing, like when I tell people I'm from Cat Island, and this irritates me so much, but the first thing people bring up is Obey, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't do Obey. I don't know what you want me to tell you. I can't give you names and places and people. So there's more to Cat Island than Obey. Like, hello, do a little bit of research, maybe. Like, not even Raken's Grave. But yeah, but like I had something that bothers me, but I really can't remember right now. That's usually the first thing that people bring up over, and I'm just like,
there's more to it than just that. Well, lady and gents, we're going to take our first break here on University Drive. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with two of our Family Island students, Zoe Turner and Isaac Barr. Zoe is a Cat Islander and Isaac is an Androsian, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Nico Scavello. We take this break and we'll be right back.
The Office of Alumni Affairs at University of the Bahamas, in partnership with its Alumni Association, invite you to attend the annual Alumni Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Award Ceremony. Come and enjoy a night of elegance, nostalgia, and celebrations on Saturday, 25th of February, as the university honors alumni who are making a difference and contributing to the growth and development of the Bahamas, like Lisa Gibson Woodside, Philip Simon, Dr. Camille Smith, Aurelia Pinder, Ariana Roberts, Troy Clark, and Troy Strong. That's University of the Bahamas Annual Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Award Ceremony, Saturday, 25th February at 7 p.m. at Crypto Isle on East Bay Street. You don't want to miss it.
I kept setting goals and not achieving them. And I'm also a life coach. So I help persons to overcome obstacles, achieve goals, and just become a better version of themselves. And I realized that I keep telling people the same things. Why not just put it in the book? You know, so my ideal audience is people who want to set goals, but finally stick to them.
Get your copy of The Secrets of Finally Sticking to Your New Year's Resolution by Nathan L. Sweeting at Chapter One Bookstore today.
The one big draw of doing a doctoral degree here is that you don't have to move and you don't have to take your family to a different place, and so you can do it right here. The same abilities that you would have in a UK or with America with being able to research is available here. And we now have all these facilities, and so they can take advantage of it at a much cheaper cost to the individual.
Apply to the University of the Bahamas today.
Welcome back to University Drive. If you are just joining us, I am Nico Scavella, co-hosting today's show with the lovely Mrs. Nikki Bowe, and our guests are Zoe Turner, a Cat Island native, and Mr. Isaac Barr, an Androsian. And we are talking about their experiences as UB students who have migrated from their native islands to Nassau to study at UB. So, I'm going to start things off with this. Zoe, I'll start with you, because, you know, I call you Cat Island affectionately. That's your nickname, official nickname. So, at UB, you're doing media journalism. So, talk about some of the classes that you've taken thus far at UB. And when you look at the whole picture, you want to graduate and you want to head into media journalism, you mentioned writing stories. How do you feel those classes are preparing you ultimately? It may be a little early on because you're still early on in your university experience, but so far, how do you feel like those classes are preparing you for what you ultimately want to do?
Okay, so let's start with the writing aspect of it. It's made me more aware of the way I write, so it makes me be more meticulous about it, and I pay more attention to how I write things now. And like you said, it opens your mind, so you start to notice things about writing and what people put on the air, put in the paper. So I've been paying more attention to things now, and it's helping me grow my skills. So especially when you write for news, it's a particular way of writing it. And I've been having a great time learning the particulars about it. So there's certain things you have to do, certain things you absolutely cannot do, certain words that you need to stay away from. So that's been a process of learning. And I think, you know, it's not necessarily the rule for every form of writing, but for news writing, you know, it works. And like, I could still learn from it, learn like the rules of grammar that I may not be too strong in. It's helping me build my writing skills there. And class as well. My first semester, I did digital photojournalism. Loved the course. My camera is broken. I need a new one, but that's not the point. I loved the course. It was like a fun experience, especially since I did it home in Kid Island. So I was able to like go and photograph one of the people who does crafts and stuff there. So I was able to learn a lot more about what he did than I previously knew. So it helped me to learn more about my own island and my own people. And we also do radio production courses. Those have been fun. They've stretched me. So I'm not usually a person who is bold to like go up and talk to people. But since I've come here, I've been doing it.
I have to stick a pin right? After you said that, because you're now in media journalism, and Isaac mentioned this, and I sense that there may be some differences in what you guys ultimately venture into. Isaac seems to be more on the what I would call the watchdog side of things, where he's going to write those nice articles that investigate certain things happening in government.
Letters to the editor and stuff. He'll be the whistleblower.
But Zoe said something interesting in media journalism, that she's not bold and that she's not one to go up and talk to people. And my dear, I must say, as a journalist, you are going to have to, you're going to have to sharpen them fangs and get out there. So talk a bit more about that. Do you feel like your university experience thus far is preparing you for that? And based on that, I'll ask you another question. But
it is definitely breaking me out of my shell, especially with radio production. We did projects where we had to do interviews with people I didn't really know, but I had to get comfortable and be able to communicate with them. And then for one of our news writing courses, you know, we had to get interviews for stories. So, yeah, I had to be able to just go up, find people, ask some questions. So it's definitely breaking me out of my shell. It's definitely making me more comfortable with just approaching people, introducing myself and being like, hey, hi. So if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a few questions. So it's making me more confident.
So did they throw you in the fire yet? Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. It's coming. What about you, Isaac? How do you feel your university experience and the courses you've taken thus far are preparing you for what you ultimately want? Bearing in mind, though, I must say this, is that when it comes to journalism, it's one of those things you just have to do. You know, there's no instruction manual. And at some points, mm-hmm. some things you know.
Some things you'll go by the book, yeah. And some things you just have to let intuition and that gut feeling take over.
Yeah, like that's why I asked you about throwing in the fire. But how do you feel everything has gone so far in terms of preparing you for what you ultimately want to do in journalism or media journalism?
Well, I had initially gotten into media journalism because I thought that media journalism was just mainly writing. And after I started doing my research and started taking up classes, I like ultimately realized that it was way more than that. Like, I started the digital photojournalism class that Zoe mentioned earlier, which is also my favorite class. But yeah, it was definitely an eye-opener. I had no idea, like, all of these things went into production. Like, I'm also doing sound production this semester as well. And it's just, like, overwhelming just to realize that all of these things go into making us have the things that we need to watch and to see and to learn and just have, like, that broadcast and be able to, like, see exactly what is going on. Not just from a political stance or from a government stance, but culturally as well.
Both of you mentioned this photojournalism class. What is it about the class that you both like? What is it that was like that aha, or what was the new thing? What was the novelty of it, or what was something that you didn't know before you went into that class that you now know? What are some of the skills that you acquired?
So the thing with me is I always like to go around taking pictures of people. I like when people take pictures of me. I want to be ready, though. But, like, I was the person who just went around with the camera taking pictures of people off guard. They didn't really know. But with photojournalism, it basically allowed me to hone my skills. So I learned a few things about how a camera works, how exposure works, how shutter speed works, and all of that. And also taught me some editing skills as well. And so, yeah, it was just like a whole new experience for me. So it wasn't just go out and take pictures. You have to think about the lighting. You have to think about the angle. You have to think about what you want this picture to say, because, you know, a picture is 1,000 words mm-hmm. to say. So you have to be so intentional with everything. And that's what, you know, photojournalism was teaching me.
What about you, Isaac?
When I first went into the class, the idea was that we needed a camera to mostly take our pictures. I believe Zoe had a camera when she took the class, but I didn't. I had to use my iPhone for the class. And we got a chance to, like, learn so much different aspects of how photos are taken with our devices. And I knew there were times that I would just go on campus, especially how there's the turtle pond. Mm-hmm. I would take my iPhone and learn that if you turn it upside down to let the lenses be facing down, that you get a better aspect of the photos and how they would come out, like, more cleaner and clearer. And also how Zoe said, with the exposure, with the shutter speed, with everything, the class just gave me the idea, like, a deeper appreciation for the art and for photographers, because I had no idea that this amount of editing and Because, like, what everyone sees, it's that we only see the beauty side of everything. We only see, like, the outcome.
Product. Yeah, the finished product.
We don't see the process.
Mm. Yes, we definitely don't see the process. So it was just astounding to me to see all of that and be able to learn all of it and be able to take photos of people on a whole nother level and be able to understand and appreciate it more.
So prior to having this course, you guys, I guess, just used to toy around with your cameras or your phones. But now this presents a totally different aspect of the importance of that photograph that accompanies a story,
mm-hmm.
right? You see how they go hand in hand. When you think of media journalism and based on what you've learned so far, is there one area that you're more geared towards or gravitating more towards as opposed to another based on what you've done so far? Because there's still lots more to learn and many more possibilities.
To be honest, I'm still being tugged around because I like writing, but I love the production side of things as well. So I need to figure out my niche. I'm not like, but, you know, like people keep telling me as a media journalism major, when you go into the workplace, you're going to have to learn to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you might start off as a writer. You got to work your way up. So it's good because we're learning so many skills and we're being stretched in so many different ways. So we're going to be able to do so many different things. So it doesn't really matter where place we'd be able to function to the best of our abilities.
What about you, Isaac?
Like Zoe said, there's just a lot of things that go into it. So it would be hard to pick and get onto one specific thing that you would like to accomplish. But definitely one of the classes that have like been tugging me towards the most was definitely mass communication, because with that class, like, it gave me a chance to learn the history and be able to like understand the process of a radio and how things work. So I would definitely say because of that class, it's leaning me more to the production side of things, but I'm still not 100% sure. I guess I have to take more classes to really get a grasp of it, but
you know, y'all are taking me back to my college days, because I could remember my intro to mass comm class so vividly now that you guys are talking, right? And I can actually see my lecturer standing at the front of that class teaching us. She was this white lady and she just had this very eclectic fashion style. But I've always found mass communication very intriguing. There's so many very various aspects and so many, it's such a dynamic field. And when I think about my classroom, my intro to mass comm class, and I could remember intro to PR, like, Lord, y'all are taking me down memory lane. Is there a particular teacher that stands out, that has motivated you, that has inspired you, that has stretched you, that has piqued your interest, that has made you more curious? So you're sitting in that corner laughing. I'm going to start with you.
So, Miss Lundy, our AVP of the Office of University Relations, she taught me intro to news writing. And she was the reason I've been stretched so much. Last semester stretched me. She's a part of the reason because she pushed us to, like, you know, go out there, get your stories, find your interviews, and come back and make it work. So she definitely stood out to me. And, like, the way she taught us, the way she made sure that we understood everything, that everything was clear, that we knew what she wanted us to do, and like, she still didn't hamper our creativity and hamper us in any way where we wouldn't be able to just, you know, put ourselves fully into the work. That stood out to me. So she's one of the lecturers that, yeah, made me love this major more.
What about you, Isaac?
For me, it would be hard to choose. So it would be out of two specific lecturers. Those are Professor Monique Taupin and Professor Yvette Stewart. Mm-hmm. Professor Stewart taught me intro to mass communications, and it was really because of her teaching that really got me interested in mass communications. And when I came to the University of the Bahamas, it was media journalism, and I had no idea that mass communications or communications in general would be a part of it. So when I like came into the class and like started being taught by her, it just gave me like some like a different kind of interest that I never felt in a specific class before. So that definitely was a major part of it. And also Professor Monique Taupin. Actually, Professor Monique Taupin has not taught me as yet, but I'm hoping to get into one of her classes, hopefully next semester. But me and Zoe are a part of a publication in the making, which is called Blueprint Student News. And Professor Monique Taupin is the head of it. Okay. Yeah, the advisor. So we've I've started learning a lot from what she has and what she has to produce, and also Miss Lundy as well. But I haven't got a chance to really get a one-on-one with Miss Lundy, so it's a process, but I'll get there.
Please note I said one of the people, because it has been several, but no.
Yeah. So I know there are lots of things people hear about University of the Bahamas, good, bad, ugly, in between. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an experience. Based on you being here, has it met, exceeded, not met your expectation? Like, did you come in here with preconceived notions, or did you come with a blank canvas and an open mind? And how has it, met your expectation?
So it's kind of a multifaceted answer for me. So one of the things I expected was that it wasn't going to be easy. It's not easy. The work is hard. You have to really apply yourself if you want to, get the grades that you want. So that's something that I anticipated, and UB has met my expectations there. That's really the only thing that was, concerning for me, the level of work. But so I know a lot of students don't necessarily big up UB in the best of ways, but I've been learning, and from watching and, listening to conversations, watching events, and participating at times, I've been realizing why things are the way they are. So I'm getting an understanding of how the university works, why certain things are the way they are, and why certain things aren't. The processes between getting something from point A to point B, why it might not happen as quickly as we want it to. So I'm getting an appreciation for how it works. So yeah, I just appreciate the University of Bahamas more. So I think if people just, pay a little more attention to what goes into things, we wouldn't be as, negative about things.
What about you, Isaac?
When I first applied to the University of the Bahamas, of course, I went to other students or recent graduates or students who are currently enrolled, just trying to find information about how the University of the Bahamas is. But every time I go to someone, they're like, University of the Bahamas is hard. It's very difficult. It's going to push you. But I was like, that is what intrigued me into it even more. Because it's like, although many students are given the opportunity to go away, it's like nothing is better than being home and also being pushed hard while you are home. So I felt like that was a big thing that I missed out on. But now that I'm able to really, really see how the University of the Bahamas life is, being able to participate and go to club showcases and just be able to really, really understand and see what makes the University of the Bahamas the University of the Bahamas, it's been like really, really interesting. But it has definitely exceeded my expectations.
Awesome. That is good to know. So you guys both mentioned Blueprint, I think is the name of the publication. And, balancing that in-classroom and out-of-classroom life. There's a lot of extra or co-curricular activities happening here at UB. Are you guys involved in any clubs or organizations outside of the classroom and separate and apart from your academics? What's your social life like here at UB?
So aside from Blueprint, I haven't really joined any clubs. There is a Bible talk club that happens, during club time on Thursdays. But it isn't really a club where, you get, isn't so much that, it's more of a relaxer for me, so it's a break from university life, so that's what that is for me. And I also do work study because I wanted to be busy, because I don't like not being busy, so that has been an experience that's been stretching me and growing me as well. That's just me, pretty much school, work study, Blueprint.
What about you,
Isaac? Well, aside from Blueprint, last semester, Blueprint was really the only club association that I was a part of. But this semester, because I used last semester to, get a feel of the University of Bahamas, I didn't want to, start clubs right away and, be flustered by work on that other extracurricular activities. But this semester, I started playing volleyball a lot. I love volleyball. Shout out to all of those volleyball players, that are there every day. It's definitely fun and interesting. But I also joined this club called PYL. It stands for Progressive Young Liberals. And they like teach you about political aspects and political life and how things go on the government side of things. And I usually call it the baby PLP. But yeah, shout out to them as well.
You just branded yourself, my dear. On another note, it's good to hear that you're both getting involved, getting a feel for things, and not being overwhelmed and striking that balance. And I think that's important. That's a critical step to succeeding in university, because a lot of times people are just academically focused and have no social life or are not involved in the campus activities. And I think they miss that part of the university experience. And then there are people that are so involved that their academics are suffering. And so I just want to encourage you, as you continue along this university journey, to always strike that balance where you're able to make the most of the academic experience, but also enjoy the non-academic side of university. Mm-hmm. That's what school is. It aids. It's necessary for the holistic university experience. We're going to shift gears a little bit. Isaac, you are a Del Tech scholar. Tell us what that means and how did you become a Del Tech scholar?
It's actually a very interesting story. So during my time applying for the University of the Bahamas, I had almost was like very, very scared because I thought that I wasn't going to get accepted. I received my acceptance letter a bit late and like probably a few days before orientation began. So I was like on my heels, I was scared. And I knew that the grant was a thing and that I had to apply for it, but I couldn't apply for it until I had been accepted. And so it was a bit like rushy for me because I didn't know what was going to happen since I'm like just applying and getting into it. But then one day, while this was in high school, a teacher of mine, Mr. Dames, he came to me and he told me that there was this scholarship that I am able to apply for because it was basically given to the top students from each family island, and it would be like a competition kind of thing. So when I realized that was the case, I immediately jumped on it and I just went and I applied. And I got the say that I would end up having to do an interview with the board of Del Tech. And I really felt as though my interview was terrible. I felt as though I didn't give it that 100% that I know I could have. And it was flustering. So I thought I was out of the running. And then went on later that I ended up getting accepted to do the second interview. And out of all of the persons that competed, it was about 8 of us in total. Then it went down to 3 of us. And I was able to be selected as the Del Tech scholar. And the Del Tech family, they are amazing people. They make sure that I have everything that I need, and they make sure that I'm being able to stick to school and do what I came here to do and make sure that I'm 100% there and always like pushing myself and motivating myself. And they're just always there in my corner cheering me on. And it has been like a wonderful experience. Although it has been a long journey, and it's still going on, it has been a wonderful experience so far being a part of the Del Tech Association.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So you're a Del Tech scholar, and you spoke about how that came about. When, and Zoe, you mentioned this, did both of you initially have in your mind that you were coming to UB for a period of time and then transferring, or did you have in your mind that you were coming to UB for the full 4 years and that you would be a University of the Bahamas alum at the end of your time here?
I think I was full 4 years. Yeah, I was.
Full 4 years. What about you?
Initially, no. I thought I may have done about 2 years to university and then venture off to somewhere else. But now I am fully committed to the 4 years here.
What made you have that change of heart?
After I started at the University of the Bahamas, I like just grew to love the teachers, the lecturers. I grew to love the people, grew to love the students, just the university campus life here. And also my housemates as well. They definitely made me want to stay and convince me that this is where I want to be. And I'm also happy that I like made the idea to stay here because it allows me to be close to the family. I'm able to travel on and off Andras as much as I want, basically. And it gives me like that down home feel. So yes, that's definitely it. And also the Dell Tech scholarship grants me like the full 4 years. So that also made me interested and wanted to stay, because then I wouldn't have to worry about school fees away and applying for other scholarships and stuff. So that definitely set me on the right path to stay here for the full 4 years.
Nico, you have anything you'd want to chime in?
Yes, I do, but are we going to take a break? Because I don't want to start something juicy. And then...
Well, I'll take your lead then, my co-host. We're going to take a break here on University Drive. When we come back, Nico's going to lead the conversation. We take a break. We'll be right back.
The Office of Alumni Affairs at University of the Bahamas, in partnership with its Alumni Association, invite you to attend the annual Alumni Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Award Ceremony. Come and enjoy a night of elegance, nostalgia, and celebrations on Saturday, 25th of February, as the university honors alumni who are making a difference and contributing to the growth and development of the Bahamas, like Lisa Gibson Woodside, Philip Simon, Dr. Camille Smith, Aurelia Pinder, Ariana Roberts, Troy Clark, and Troy Strawn. That's University of the Bahamas Annual Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Award Ceremony, Saturday, 25th February at 7 p.m. at Crypto Isle on East Bay Street. You don't want to miss it.
Welcome back to University Drive. If you're just joining us, we're having a robust conversation with two students that are natives of two of our family islands. Zoe Turner is from Cat Island, and Isaac Barr is from Andrus. And they're sharing their experiences here about moving from their quaint little tiny settlements of Orange Creek and North Andrus and Queens Highway, you said.
Yes.
And coming to Nassau and this bustling city life. And Zoe said that whenever they see more than three cars behind each other in Cat Island, they have traffic. It's a traffic jam. And I'm sure just moving across from one side of campus, like if you have to cross University Drive from the Michael Eldon complex to go over to the main campus, that then of itself is a nightmare, right? Thank God for that traffic situation that helps cars stop. But we're going to let Nico take over and kind of guide and steer the conversation for this segment before we wrap up our show. So, Nico, I'm going to turn things over to you.
Yes, and now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of things concerning the media journalism majors that these students are pursuing. So I have to ask, and I kind of got my answer early on just based on what they were saying, but I'm going to start with Isaac. I'll start with Isaac this time. When we think of media journalism, there are some terms that come to mind: hard news, soft news, human interest stories. And based on what you were saying earlier, it sounds like you definitely have an affinity for hard news. And so, of course, hard news would involve, you know, political news, crime stories, court stories as well, business stories, you know, stuff like that, breaking stories. Soft news, you know, pretty much self-explanatory. It's pretty soft, you know, human interest stories. A cat's gone missing in some part of New Providence. The owners are desperate to find them, and the cat in and of itself is a character, et cetera, well-loved by the community because it does little antics at the night, stuff like that. So why hard news, based on what you're saying? Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but why hard news? And what is it about hard news / political stories, breaking stories, that would interest you? Or you can say, I prefer soft news. Which one do you prefer? Hard news, soft news, human interest?
I prefer hard news, as I would think that I previously stated. But the thing is, as I've been taking up classes and learning more about like journalism in itself, the thing is with soft news, I feel as though it's like news that can be stated, but it's like not important, like it's not the now. Like it can be stated at this time and it maybe can be stated the next time, But sometimes the thing is with hard news, those statements can only be made right there and then, because mm-hmm. it can just drastically change and eventually, oh, it's not hard news anymore because this has already passed. But I feel as though being able to tell the nation and being able to tell the country exactly what is going on and exactly what the process is of what is going on in Parliament, what is going on in the House of Assembly, what is going on in the Senate, I just feel like even what bills are being passed, I just feel as though those things are important, and being able to find out more detailed information about how the country is being run and what is being approved and what is being disapproved, that the citizens are not being told. It just interests me because I feel as though in Andres, we definitely hear things, but we are somewhat, can I say, not accepted into the loop of things all the time.
A little bit disconnected.
Yeah. So that's definitely why I definitely want to get into the hard news, because I want to be able to tell especially the citizens of Andros what is going on, and the citizens of all the family island islands of the family islands, just to make sure that they know exactly what is going on.
So before I go to Zoe, so let me ask you, hard news, and what, based on what you're saying, that would involve interviewing some very prominent people in society. So you're talking about, you know, going to events, the prime minister may be there, deputy prime minister, ministers of various government agencies, et cetera, et cetera. Does that intimidate you at all, you know, going up, or the thought of walking up out of the blue and sticking your recorder or what have you, mic?
A recording device. A recording device.
And just grilling them, hey, buddy, XYZ, what's the status on this? Does that intimidate you at all? Does the thought of doing that intimidate you at all? Or did you fathom or even consider that that will definitely be a staple of your career going forward if you decide to stay on this path?
I know a lot of people would say what I find the news is and what I want to do is very ambitious, because things are not as difficult as I've learned for media journalism personnel in our country. But I'm willing to do those things because I'm the kind of person where I see things like this. If we are not being told exactly what is going on and we are not being filled in exactly what we need to know, then there is no purpose. Because if that's the case and that's the exact situation and things are being done in the country that I personally don't know about, then isn't that affecting my rights as being a citizen? And isn't that stopping, like, the main purpose of why we have democracy in our country? Because it's like, we are meant to know these things. We voted. I don't want to get into that case because that's very, but it's just, yes, that's definitely.
It's a right as a citizen of a country to be informed, know what's going on.
Right. So what about you, Zoe? Now, earlier you mentioned, you said you weren't bold. You're breaking out of your shell, which is good. Yeah. And so I have to know, would you err on the side of hard news, or would you be more interested in soft news?
I'd probably gravitate more towards soft news, you know, like feature stories, human interest, because, like I said, I like to tell stories, and I like to tell the stories of people, like, you know, individuals, certain things that happen even in small places that you wouldn't necessarily hear about. And I know, like, hard news, it could be a bit overwhelming. It's a lot. And, like, I think soft news gives it, like, it softens it a little bit. So it gives you, like, a little, you know, it's
you
like
need
a
that
breather.
Balance. Yeah.
It gives it the balance. So we make quite the pair.
Yes. So that's interesting because you raised a very good point, Zoe. You need that balance. And I think a lot of times, having so much hard news, we're inundated mm-hmm. with hard news
yes,
in our country.
Every day.
And I remember when I worked at a particular radio station, I would produce the midday news, and it was like, it became depressing because every lead story was a murder.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, could we lead with another story? Because we know that we have a crime issue, but we don't want to always have that as our top story.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want our psyches to become so programmed that we're automatically listening and anticipating and expecting that that will be the lead story. And I'm sure you've had similar experiences, Nico, where
yes.
you've, you know, been in court, you've had court stories, you've had to wake up out of your bed to go on a murder scene because you get that call, you
yep.
know. the police, mm-hmm. I mean, we've been notified by the police that there's a murder. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Nico, we need you to go and cover that story. And so when you talk about those human interest stories, those are important stories. And I think one that comes to mind and one that I have been wanting to advocate for, and I think it's important, was as a result of the hard news. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you're right. You know, they complement each other. Where a young lady died, and she a video went viral of her in the hospital, right, Miss Darville. Mm-hmm. And then now there's this appeal for blood. And I remember years ago, before he was Minister of Health, Dr. Dwayne Sands, I had interviewed him. And I remember in that interview, he said that one trauma victim, one person presenting at the hospital for trauma, whether it's a gunshot victim, whether it's a car accident victim, whether it's a stabbing and domestic dispute, that one person could deplete the supply of blood in the blood bank. Mm-hmm. And so that's where your human interest story comes in, where you're appealing to the public to give blood, because it's not just that person, it's something that we need. And so, yes, you have to be able, you're going to have to learn how to piggyback. So if you're not that hard news person, how do I create a soft news mm-hmm. story from his hard news story? And how do I create a hard news story from her soft news story? Because now you're advocating for policy mm-hmm. and policy changes, and that's your hard news. So see, we could give you a lesson here, because we've been through in the trenches. Before we wrap up, where do you see yourself in the future? What are your career prospects and aspirations as it relates to media journalism?
So earlier you asked, like at the very beginning, if we saw ourselves going back home. I do. One of the things that I want to do is start my own media-based company in Kid Island. And I want to do it so where I don't necessarily have to be in Kid Island or be anywhere in particular to have clients or whatever. But like, as for the field of journalism, you know, I would like to get some experience, you know, be a reporter at some point so I could learn and become more developed in the field. And then doing that, I'll be able to, like, be more equipped to start my own business in Kid Island to help Kid Island, no, build Kid Island up, because it needs building up. And, like, I want to be one of the people that does that, because I feel like too many of us are just leaving with the I'm not coming, I'm not setting foot on this island again. And I've never been that person, because, like, you know, I love my home. I want to see it grow.
So Cat Island needs something. More traffic is what you're saying. More than 3 cars. We need to get more traffic on the island.
Nico, have you ever been to Cat Island?
I have never been to Cat Island, so, and I want to go.
As a fellow Cat Islander, Zoe and I are going to extend the invitation for you to visit Cat Island.
Yes, I want to go, and I want to visit Como Hill in particular.
And you have to visit Como Hill. And Cat Island is a jewel. It has some of the most beautiful beaches. All of our islands have beautiful beaches. But Cat Island is a jewel, and it's rich in history. Mm-hmm. Cat Island has a railroad. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Okay. But see, you spoiled it, right? Because yeah. I wanted to see, that would have been a nice surprise. But yes. It's still going to be a surprise
right.
when
it's
I go down there.
It's going to be a surprise. So I encourage you to visit Cat Island and take in all of the sights and the delicious food and the rich culture. You know, Cat Island is home to Rake and Scrape and one of the leading islands for a god. Like, there's so much. It's a secret. It's a jewel. It's a hidden jewel. But like Zoe said, like a lot of our family islands, the populations are dwindling mm-hmm. because so many people leave and mm-hmm. don't go back. I'm sure in some similar regard, Isaac, the same can be said about Andrus, where the young people leave and don't go back. Do you plan to go back home, Isaac?
Okay, I initially stated in the interview that I don't think so, uh-huh. but I wouldn't say that it would be to abandon Andrus, because I definitely would want to come back, and because I've always told people this, that I would love to start a media journalism club, mm-hmm. possibly in my original high school, and just be able to, like, give others the aspects of what goes into media journalism, because I know when I got into the degree program, it was always, okay, you should go into teaching or you should go into nursing at the University of the Bahamas. But I wanted to try something different and, you know, open up my eyes to other things. And one of those main things were media journalism. And I felt as though if I knew more about it in high school, then I would have been able to already set in mind what I want to do when I came to the University of the Bahamas. But I would definitely want to come back and see my home grow, as we stated. But I also see myself possibly after an after I completed my bachelor degree program in University of Bahamas, possibly going off to get a master in this degree. And then once I come back, I would obviously want to work in one of the news stations in the Bahamas.
Before we go, what advice do you have for other Family Island students that are embarking on the application process and considering UB and considering moving away from home? What advice do you have for them as they transition and consider this as the next phase of their lives?
Firstly, don't just pass over UB and go like immediately to the States. You know, people do say if you could make it at UB, you could make it anywhere. And I would agree because the University of the Bahamas is a place that stretches you, it pushes you to grow. So definitely consider the University of Bahamas. And when you do that, don't necessarily look at, I guess, what people say you'd be good at. Like people tell you, I think you'd make a good teacher. You should be a lawyer. You should be a doctor. I think you should evaluate what it is that you want, what it is that you want to do with your life, what career goals you want to have, and then go from there, look at what the University of the Bahamas offers. It is a good starting point, even if you don't stay here. It's a good place to start. It's a good place to get your feet wet. It's a good place to, you know, figure out who you are even more. So that's my advice. Just figure out what your passion is and do your best to pursue that. And don't let people define what it is that you have to do for you.
Good advice, Zoe. Thank you. Isaac.
I mean, Zoe basically said it all in a nutshell. But I would just like to say that I know when I first came to the University of Bahamas or had the idea of it, I didn't think that was like my full future. But it's like the idea is you need a place to start. You need a place to understand what you want to do in life. And any Family Island student in the Bahamas would know that if you come to the University of the Bahamas and even spend a year or 2 years here, even if you just come to get an associate's degree, it's going to push you and it's going to make sure that what you need to do when you start working, though in that degree program, it is going to have exactly what you need. I had no idea that I was going to be doing media journalism. If you had told me this about 10 years ago or maybe 5 years ago, I would have thought you were crazy because that was far out of mind. But I am so glad that I did it because the University of the Bahamas definitely opened my eyes up to so much that's not just going on in the country, but what's going on worldwide and everything that you need to know. So definitely, go Mingos.
Woo! Go Mingos, woo! Listen, Isaac, I see you as the former MP for North Andras. I see that in your future for some strange reason. Anyways, I wish you both well. Whatever your aspirations are, whatever your endeavors, I wish you all the best, particularly as you matriculate here through University of the Bahamas. Well, our time has come to an end. I thank you both for joining us as guests, and I thank you, Nico, for co-hosting with me. And next time, I think I'm going to turn the mic over to you, and I'll be your co-host, and I'll let you lead the charge. And so we'll be sharing these duties, and it'll be the first of many more to come. And Zoe and Isaac, thank you for sharing your stories with us.
It was good to be here.
It was a pleasure.
And for this podcast and more UB information, be sure to visit our website at www.ub.edu.bs. And be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And join us next week, same time, same radio station, for another exciting edition of University Drive. I'm your host, Nikki Bo.
And I'm my co-host, Scavella.
Nico Scavella. Enjoy the remainder of your day.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations and the Communications and Creative Arts Academic Unit at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.